Dave Moore on Today FM.
Give me any accent in the world, I can do it. Any accent. Start simple.
Czech Republic.
Czech Republic, okay. But because I studied Czech a number of years, so I know that the Czech Republic people speak English a bit like this.
Canadian.
Oh, Canadian's pretty easy. You just got to make sure you get yourself a nice boot sound and there, and then you can bring yourself around to like how people... What, you were making a face at me there, Carl? You know how people in Northern Territories talk like this?
You kind of sound Norwegian there.
Yeah.
No, Norwegian is very up and down. Don't forget, it is the most up and down language there is. So that is how they speak in Norway.
Scottish.
Oh, you go.
Oh, don't get fire.
I wanna.
Listen, you don't worry about that, Seema, because I'll tell you now.
This unsettles me.
No, it doesn't even settle me.
No, because it's your face in a different accent and it unsettles me.
But it's because I do this all the time. I watch a show called Still Game. Two old guys living in Glasgow. It's going about their business. Everything's getting hee-hawed up out of it. And it's just amazing. And I can't stop. And wee Bobby is in there and it's just amazing.
Tipperary.
Well, no, Tipperary, no, I wouldn't know too much about that. Like, no. Where's that great. From, then? If I'm not, like, would there not be a few tip lads that sound like this? Like, there would. Would you stop? There'd be a few lads you don't know the sideline of a hurling game that sound like that.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, like, what about...
Is it Leash or something?
It's Midlandsy.
It Midlandsy? Well, tip is...
Wexford.
Having a clue. Wexford.
Yeah, you're not far off. Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's probably all I can say. Rissole, is that Waterford or Wexford?
That's Wexford. They kind of have, I always think Wexford accents are a weird combination of like that, like less dub centric than Wick, like there's Wicklow and Wexford, it's kind of more Waterford, so it's kind of flatter again. It's mad.
I would struggle more with regional Irish than I would almost with anything else.
Give me to finish off on your accents, East London.
East London. I don't know the difference between East London, North London, and West London, South London, but I think you mean like this. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
The East?
No, cause I do South London because that's Arsenal. Arsenal, innit? Yeah. Like Chups and them boys. Chups and Robbie freaking out. I'll tear out. You get me, man? What is wrong with you?
It makes me uncomfortable because you're
What are you talking about?
Different.
What are you talking about? It's exactly what I want to do, speak like this all the time. You know, big up the Arsenal massive, yeah? Going along to London. Used to go to Highbury. Now I go to Emirates like that.
You know, it's like Stormzy, isn't it?
You understand, man? You understand what I'm saying to you, man? It's exactly what it is. Stormzy, although Stormzy talk, I didn't ever heard somebody talk like that. He talks like that. I can't do it. But he talks like that. It's a weird one, Stormzy, man. It's freaking me out, man.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't like any of this.
Well, actually, the reason I'm about accents is because Interview the Superstars that are in the movie Wolfman, okay? So Christopher Abbott, Julia Garner, you'll hear from Julia in a second, but I spoke to the director. Now, look, I'll be honest with you, right? This is a podcast. We can be honest. When we get the chance to talk to a director, chances are that interview ain't going on the radio. Because, like, in fairness, they're all like,
yeah, well, I just really wanted to express myself through the medium of film. I have all of these ideas, and they come from a troubled childhood.
You're like, dude, just can you say something exciting about the movie? So anyway, Lee Whannell, who's the Aussie guy who co-wrote and directed Wolfman. He's the guy behind Saw movies.
And Insidious, right?
And Insidious and The Invisible Man. He's unbelievable. Anyway, this fella is the soundest lad around, and we swapped accents for a chat.
Lee, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very good, glad to talk to you. Congratulations on making an utterly terrifying movie.
Thank you. I'm really trying to resist saying, how are you? And doing a bad image. That was pretty good. Just tell me that was pretty good.
No, that was pretty good, and I'm trying to resist going, oh, g'day, Lee. Nice to meet you, mate.
Why resist? Let it flow.
Well, I'll do that in Australian. Yeah, you do the whole thing in Irish accent.
Can you ask me the questions in Australian and I'll answer in Irish and we'll see how this goes?
Absolutely do that. Right, listen. Wolfman's got lore around it. You know, people are very passionate about this kind of thing. So you've created something really unique. Was that your intention from the word go?
Absolutely it was. Absolutely. I wanted to create something that... The Wolfman's a character that's been around for a long time. And you don't want to do something people have seen before, but you also want... You've got to do something unique. So I want the old fans of the Wolfman to love it, but also I also want new fans to come along. How's that? Oh, I like the way...
Astounding.
I'm going to give you credit for one thing. You really hit lore correctly. You really gave it the right amount of syllables.
Thank you. Honestly, that is a really, really good Irish accent.
Really?
Where have you got this from? Honestly.
This is the best thing you could have possibly said to me. In fact, I now want to be a co-host on your show and just
well,
do it,
let's make
as,
it happen.
An Irish, as an Irish person.
And as if that wasn't enough, he's so so funny. I love him. We also spoke to the stars of the movie and Julia Garner. Ruth Langmore from Ozark. I don't know if I got that accent down, but she's unbelievable. And it's very hard to talk like her and not swear your little face off. but she is amazing and she's so good in this movie. And she's also so nice and she's so sound. And I had a chat with her as well.
Julia Garner, hi. Ireland says hello.
Hello. I say hi back.
How are you? You good?
I'm good, yes.
Listen, congratulations on Wolfman. This is such a great monster movie. It's scary as hell.
It is very scary. And when I watched it, I was like, wait, what happens now? Oh, yeah, but I read this so many times, I should know. I should not get scared.
You should not, but it is a sign of a great movie if even somebody who's in the movie and knows what's going to happen still gets scared.
Yeah, but I'm a scaredy cat, though. So.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Like, so do you have, like, a monster, like, that would scare you, like, from your child? Like, for me, it's, because I'm Irish, the thing is the Banshee, for me. I don't know if you remember that story, but, like, these wailing, you know, women at night, which would signify a death in the family. Like, they're, my grandmother believed that. That was terrifying to me.
I mean, that sounds just terrifying. And I feel like, I'm like, wait, is that about me? No, I'm kidding. No.
Absolutely not.
I'm just like screaming at night. No, there's nothing that scares me specific. I just get scared with everything, which is maybe why it's great that I'm in this. So it doesn't take a lot for me to get scared. Like I get scared. Right. It's actually pathetic.
Julia Garner, what a sound human being. In fact, movie stars, the bigger they are, the sounder they are. Because check out Jamie Foxx and Cameron Diaz who are talking to me.
Have you had fun here? Have we been nice to you here in Ireland?
I've had a fantastic time full of Guinness. You gotta drink the fucking Guinness, baby. You gotta drink the Guinness. I'm like, oh.
I was just about to ask you, can you do an Irish accent? And you just
they put it in such a way where I had to, like, you're not a man. I'm like, oh, I wanna be that. Even the women at the bar, you're not a fucking man. So
always remember to drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie. You know who isn't sound? Colin Minogue. He outed me on national radio for being a messy eater. I don't know if I even want to talk about this. Yesterday, Dermot Whelan was doing his live show, Busy and Wrecked, in the Borgosh Energy Theatre. And Colin and I, being big supporters of Dermot and fans of his, we decided we'd go along together.
Yeah, an incredible show.
A great show. A little boys' day out, though, you know. Myself and Colin meeting up. Going
the lads.
The pure class lads.
Now, it was January, so, you know, that wasn't the lads' wild night out. It was more quiet.
It was wholesome. Quiet, wholesome, had a bit of food. And this is where, this morning, when people were asking us, Emer and Maria, for example, how last night was, I was prepared to say, great night, great fun, had great food, went and saw a great show. No. Minogue's just been unleashing hell upon me. Go on, tell everyone what the issue is.
It's a big issue I have with you. I've never noticed this in the 4 years that we've been best buddies.
Yeah.
So we went to a fine dining restaurant called Pit Bros.
I was going to say, it's a great spot, but it ain't fine dining. You eat with your hands.
It's messy and it's lovely. And it's in Dublin City. And anyway, myself and Dave went and got a lovely dinner. I got a burger and chips.
I went with wings. And
you did go with wings.
I was going to go burger, but then I was like, no, do you know what? I just want a big plate of wings and a load of chips.
You were struggling with the wings as well. I thought you'd be a man for the wings.
There were so many. I had to offer Cahill a wing or two just to kind of balance up the plate. But anyway.
However, right, that's all fine. Now, before we tucked into our food, Emer, Dave actually took off his jumper. In preparation. Well, now I thought he was just getting warm.
No.
But then he did admit to me, I'm a bit of a messy eater. And then I watched him eat the wings and so I had my baby niece Niamh over for Christmas from Edinburgh. She is 18 months.
18 months, yeah.
And she had a lovely Christmas dinner and her face was covered in food. Dave, your face was covered. I mean to say now, like top, like under his eye, there was sauce. So then, in fairness, he knew that's why the jumper was off. So he took off, he started to get some tissue because it didn't give us wipes. Actually, it didn't give Dave wipes.
Yeah, in fairness, I could have done with some wipes, but they didn't. But
you could have done with a bib. You could have done with a bib.
Sounds like I could have done with one of those, you know, those face masks you put on where when you're doing it at night.
Eyes
in the mouth. Yeah, I should have done that.
So he improvised and used the water from the melted ice in his glass, poured that onto some tissue roll because they give us a roll of tissue, and he was, you know, wetting his face wetting his hands, dabbing his face and all of that. Anyway, I was like, okay, I was watching him. He's doing this for about 10 minutes. He still hadn't gotten half the sauce off. But then we got up to leave to go to Dermot's show, and we were walking down the street, and I felt like I was a mammy. I went to lick my thumb. As we were walking, I was like, Dave, you have sauce like under your eye. What is happening? Oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm a bit of a messy eater. I knew that would happen. I was like, well, what are you? We ain't going into public.
Every time
this.
I eat something with sauce on it in public, in a restaurant, whatever, Tracy always says, "No, hang on, before we get up off the table, let me." And she gets out her torch and like will shine her torch at my face and be wiping and dabbing for like it could be 10 minutes. Like,
it's incredible how you are a grown man.
I just love sauce.
And oh yes, yes you do. Why, because Carl, I feel like I should have warned you. Had I known you were going to that particular establishment and there was a chance there'd be something saucy on the menu, right. I'd have warned you.
You know.
I've been through this before.
Okay.
About 6 years ago, I'm going to say.
What?
We were first working together. I don't think we were working together very long.
No.
We were away with work. I think we were in Centre Parks in the UK.
Oh, I know you're
going.
Yes, we were in
Centre Parks
in the UK.
Team dinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we all sat down and I was sitting opposite Dave and we ordered our food and Dave said, "I'll have the ribs, please." And again.
Ribs.
Took off a jumper. And said to me, just to warn you in advance, we were sitting directly opposite each other, just to warn you in advance, I'm a bit of a messy eater. And I said, look, ribs, they're messy.
Saucy
I get it.
Ribs.
Mother of God.
I get it.
Oh,
I did
my
say
God.
To you, I did say to you, Eimear, that.
Isn't it ridiculous?
I'm not going to clean my face or hands until after I finish the ribs, because I'm not going to do a piecemeal all the way through. So I just waited until the end, and then I began the ablutions.
I'm just going to keep going with this until it's over. I was like, but that means I have to keep going with this until it's over.
Yeah, because we were having some serious conversations, deep conversations about life. He's like, yeah. And then, like, sauce is building, like the Joker. You look like the Joker.
No, hang on. Well, okay, I'm definitely messy, but I wasn't making any weird noises or anything, was I?
Just near the end when you're doing the licking your fingers.
Oh, finger licking. Yeah. There was finger licking,
Look, I'm actually fine with all of that, but if we're going out then into, thank God the restaurant was a bit quiet as well. Because when we're going out into public, that's when I was a bit like, I ain't hanging out with you, man, when you've sauce.
Yeah, I had to.
Teardrops of sauce.
Made it back to the car, but then I searched around in the car and I found a tissue and I poured some of my water bottle onto the tissue and then I was like, oh, wiping the cheek. I turned on the vanity light in the little sun visor to make sure I could see it all. I was like, Colin, is it gone now? And he's just sitting in the car going, can we get to the venue, please?
It's incredible how messy you are. I understand with kids, kind of.
Well,
you reach a point in life and that ends.
But I also have a kind, like I stubble all the time. I never shave, you know, clean.
That's not an excuse.
But then it just kind of drags it out, I think.
How is it getting there? How does it get there?
Okay, so whatever about, you know, I can understand to a point. Ribs, wings are a messy food.
Yeah.
Not that messy, but they
can
be messy.
Hot dogs as well. Hot dogs are the life. And the ketchup and the mustard, the hot dogs,
is
often
messy?
Under my ear. I don't know how it gets there.
To go directly into your gob,
it all goes out. It just creeps up. I don't know what happens.
What about bolognese or chili?
Yeah, bolognese is bad. Yeah, bolognese at home. I have to kind of like, after something, like scrubbing my face in the sink and all,
Oh my gosh.
Well, like, it's not like you have a really small mouth or anything.
It's quite big, actually.
Do you not mind that?
Well, it's never really been an issue other than my missus giving out to me until now. Well, no, Eimear did give out to me 6 years ago, and I've told that story a few times, actually. So, yeah, maybe. I've just never really thought about it.
Yeah, to be fair, no, I didn't give out. I was actually
in
shock.
No, you didn't. You were in shock.
I didn't sleep well last night.
Yeah.
Thinking about it all night.
You'd be a bit shook, like.
Yeah, you're a grown man. You're a father.
Get over yourself, like, we all have little quirks.
The thing is, It's okay to say that thing to you.
Can I ask a question?
You don't care. Like, not that you don't care. I hope you don't.
I don't care.
Yeah. You won't change is what I'm trying to say.
No, I don't think there's anything about me that is off limits to you guys. I genuinely don't think so. No. Like, I'm sure you guys probably have conversations behind my back. You know, God, he's such a dick when he does that. But I actually think I hope that you could say it to my face.
There's I think I've said to you, like, I mean that I'm coming from a place of love when I say this more than probably anyone I know.
Yes, people have definitely said that to me in the past. But yeah, I just think it's okay. Like, I'm okay with anything you want to talk to me about. I hope you feel the door is always open.
Oh, indeed it is. Sometimes we wish you were close.
As they learn yet another thing about it, they go, do we need to know this?
Can I ask a question though? Obviously, like, in public wouldn't be a mess eater. At home, would you, like, I sometimes have a falafel wrap every day when I have my lunch. Mm. And it gets messy because sometimes it's a lot of dry stuff. Falafel is obviously dry, wrap dry, and then I put a lot of greenery into it and then barbecue sauce. And sometimes
bits can fall.
Bits can fall and then there tends to be a lot of barbecue sauce. But I'm in the comfort of my home.
No, you know me. I will eat at my desk, as we already spoke on air about me, how I'll unwrap a burrito.
Yeah.
Like, I will eat like I don't, like, I'm just going to eat whatever I'm eating, whatever way it takes. Like,
yeah, would you be messier at home or do you just eat the same way all the time?
Same way all the time. I'm kind of boring.
Boring?
My food at home would be boring. Like,
or it wouldn't be messy stuff.
No, not really.
I have learned an adaptation to my eating. In order to stay married.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has hyperacusis, which is a hatred of certain noises, and eating noises and chewing noises are one of them. For the whole world, not just for me.
Yeah.
Particularly for me.
God, she has Harley.
Yeah, to some extent. Misophonia and hyperacusis, yeah, they're more than the same in certain things. Anyway, I can never breakfast with my wife, and I can never eat toast in her vicinity. And you might think, you're missing out on some beautiful sunny morning staring into No. For the sanctity of our marriage, for the safety of us staying together, I eat cereal in a room with the door closed. She is not anywhere near me. Like, same with, I eat toast. This is her words. You eat toast like a murderer. That's what she says. I don't know what I do with toast. I've eaten toast in front of other people who've never commented on it. Maybe they're
all eat cereal in front of us every day and I've never noticed anything about it.
I eat porridge in front of you. But no, porridge is soft.
Oh, right? Oh,
I'm
so
talking
kind of
crunchy, like Special K Sultana brand. I make a mix of that at the weekend or whatever. You know what I mean? So, but that and toast.
You mix your cereals at the weekend?
Oh, I mix my cereals at the weekend. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I go Sultana brand, Special K, Sultana brand.
In one bowl?
Wow. In one bowl, yeah.
You?
I don't know why. I just started at one time. Pretty big.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not my 6 Weetabix bowl. That's a separate thing.
God, you're such a weird man.
I am. See, but I like that you can say that to me. This is why,
like,
I want this open
odd. Like, that,
I am
like,
an odd man.
6 Weetabix is just like, with respect, your poor bells. My God.
Yeah. Everything's running on time, I'll tell you that much. Speaking of food, Emer discovered something incredible over the weekend, actually, that there was a cherry tomato bridge. Right, you know, in Paris, they have the Pont des Arts, which is that bridge where people put little padlocks on to symbolize their love of each other. There's an island in Norway, I think it's called Sommerøy, where it's so far in the Arctic Circle that they have complete darkness in January for the whole month, like, and then during the summer they have white nights where, like, the sun never sets for a long period of time. So their time is so messed up that they just said, you know what? We're abolishing time on this island. So when you go there, like, you could go to school at 2 a.m.
Oh.
Or you could, like, go out for a meal at 5:30 in the morning and the restaurant's open. They just don't care. The time's not.
Concept.
It's just exactly. And on the bridge out to that island, people have started sticking watches on it to signify that's where time ends.
Okay.
In the traditional sense. And then you go out to Sommerøy and you enjoy yourself out there. Not to be outdone, Dublin has given us a bridge which Emer has spent almost the entire weekend at.
Mm-hmm.
Emer, what's on the bridge in Dublin?
Well, now a lot more, but initially, cherry tomatoes.
Cherry tomatoes on a bridge. This is on the north side of Dublin between
Drumcondra and Dorset Street. It's known as Binns Bridge. So if you've ever been to Croke Park and you've gone to the Red Parrot, the big tree, and you've walked down Dorset Street towards Croke Park onto Jones's Road,
You've crossed that bridge. Okay. Right. So why were there tomatoes on the bridge?
No one knows. So the backstory to this is, on Friday, and it has been kind of bubbling underneath for the last few days prior. Remember, the weather was really cold.
Freezing.
Yeah. So someone, I would imagine, either dropped them or left them out. I'm guessing for maybe the birds. We were all being told to feed the birds.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
That's my theory.
Because, I mean, in fairness, if you're going to drop cherry tomatoes, the chances of dropping them up, I presume the bridge is at shoulder height, it's not waist height for me.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you're going to drop them, because they're not on the bridge on the ground, they're on the bridge on the kind of, as you said, waist height barrier of the bridge. So I don't think you'd drop them on there. They would have fallen off. So they're obviously placed, possibly for the birds or the foxes or the who knows what.
For someone.
Yeah.
So they were there, and then because the weather had been so cold, they were freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing, probably not thawing a huge amount. So they stayed fresh for a very long time.
Okay.
And then Kelly Early, who is on TikTok and on Instagram, she took a photograph of them and said, look at these
tomatoes on the bridge.
As she did that, many other people, Sarah Marie Griffin, other people all did the same thing of going, has anyone seen the tomatoes on the bridge? And then it just exploded. So there was TikTok accounts saying, best three things to do in January, make the pilgrimage to Cherry Tomato Bridge in Drumcondra.
Sorry, I must stop you there and say, that's what people did on TikTok. You made the pilgrimage to Cherry Tomato Bridge.
Of course I made the pilgrimage. Yeah. Carla Sullivan, who works here on Alison Curtis's show, showed me on Friday and said, this is hilarious. And immediately I said, well, I know what my Friday evening plan is.
Okay.
Got home from work, turned to my other half, and he looked at me and went, oh my God, we're definitely going to Cherry Tomato Bridge. Have you seen this? So up we went Friday night, and it was, you know, it was dark. We got there, we're like, there's another couple standing there. So we met another couple
who came,
who were doing their own photo shoot of the cherry tomatoes. So we took our selfie, and then the girl went, hey, do you want me to take your photograph? So we exchanged phones. Everyone took photographs of each other, both couples. And then the guy in the other couple was like, I'm on FaceTime to my brother now. He lives in the UK, but he wanted to see Cherry Tomato Bridge
in the UK.
In the UK. So then we left, obviously. There's not, you know, once you've seen it, your life is forever changed for the better, but you have to move on. Mm. And we were leaving, and another couple were on the way. And then I looked, and there was a girl across the road taking a photograph. But
this
that was
Friday night, yeah, okay.
So obviously went back up Saturday.
Of course.
Make sure they
you
were
said
still
once
there.
Once you've seen it, but you went back.
You have to check on them, yeah.
Okay, okay.
And again, went up several other people there. Wait times have increased. It's now been added to Google Maps. People are putting reviews and estimated wait times. Ever since Saturday, I haven't been back up. I'm going up this afternoon. Ever since then, it has exploded. Firstly, the wait time is genuinely getting bigger and bigger.
That's ridiculous.
I saw a photograph yesterday afternoon of there must have been 20 people at this bridge all taking photographs of the tomatoes. But what's the funniest thing is now people have started adding. So when we went up on Saturday, there was sliced tomato, which I would like to say personally, I'm not here for.
Gotcha. So the cherry tomatoes make sense because they are in themselves self-contained. They've got skin.
But it's also cherry tomato bridge. You can't have sliced salad tomato and cherry tomato bridge.
Okay, okay.
But
okay.
Now there's been tomato ketchup packets added.
Oh, no.
There's been candles lit. There's people have left framed pictures on it. Like, it's turned into this huge thing. And the best part, and I found this out last night, is that on the opposite side of the bridge, someone has put a head of lettuce.
Oh, no.
Which is too far.
There are a couple, there's so many questions, but there's one flaw I can see with this. In Paris, on the Pont des Arts, the one where you padlock things, like you go, the reason you go is you go to look at all of the padlocks and they're all there and there's thousands of them and you can maybe read some of the messages and see, to imagine these people's lives. I would imagine in the Sommerøy Bridge in Norway, you know, if the watches are tied on, there's just hundreds and thousands of watches and you can see them. Like, if the birds or the foxes do come down, or if Dublin City Council walk past and just casually brush the tomatoes, or indeed on the other side the lettuce, off into the river or the canal, that's the end of Cherry Tomato Bridge. Like, it's not permanent.
Oh, it's certainly not permanent, but if nothing else, it is the second week in January now. It was the first weekend in January, and I have never laughed. Like, when I say every time my other half said anything to me in the last 2 days, it was the latest on the bridge. Like, at one point on Friday evening or Saturday evening, I'd say to him, I was like, I love this so much. However, can we talk about something that's in the bridge? Yeah. Like, there's so many videos of it. Everyone's just got, it's, you know what it is? It's just so silly.
It is so silly. And there's nothing like that. And Susan says, we were there last night. Yes, Susan, get on the phone Susan. Immediately. I want to know all about it. Pat Foley says, morning, Dave. The people in Cherry Orchard won't be impressed with the Cherry Tomato Bridge taking the limelight. You're right, Pat.
Yes.
There's always been Cherry Orchard.
Game, Cherry Orchard.
Oh, my God. And then, you were the sad demise of the Cherry Tomato Bridge. It did not go down well with you.
No, it did not. And actually, the most upsetting part about all of this is that my brother, who's usually on board for all of my crap humour, is gone anti-Tomato Bridge. So there's a split in the family. And when it happened, and I said, look, house private, you know, respect me as I go through this loss that the charity medal has been shoved off the bridge. He laughed at me for ages. So never speak anymore. No, but actually, I was walking by there yesterday, of course. I was actually going to go a different direction. I was like, I have to go by the bridge. And there was tons of people there and new tomatoes.
See, this is the thing. I said it at the time. The issue with Cherry Tomato Bridge is its impermanence. Like, as I said, the locks in France, the watches in Norway, they're attached. These things are just sitting on the thing.
But even they do cut the locks off bridges all the time.
They do in some places, not in Pont des Arts in Paris. That is a thing.
Isn't that the issue there, that the bridge is now getting too heavy because of the locks?
Well, yeah, certainly in Ireland, in Dublin, on the Halfpenny Bridge, they were worried about damage to the bridge itself, which is ancient. You know, I don't know if it's older than
Pont des Arts. Some people put them on the Millennium Bridge, which is arguably the least romantic bridge in the entire world, apart from when they have the lights over at Christmas time.
Why is it so not romantic?
It's just a bridge. And also, if some person is running or cycling on it, it also vibrates up your entire body.
It does vibrate. Well, if you drive over the Samuel Beckett Bridge, as you sit on it, it is going like that.
Yeah, imagine that when you're walking, though.
I hate that.
And there's one woman.
That's terrifying.
There's one woman, right? And I see her, I would say, 3 times a week, depending on what time I leave here at, coming home from the office. And that bitch knows that she's running and it really
vibrates
and she's really heavy runner on the Millennium Bridge. So she's like, and like, particularly, I've had some pains in my legs of late, as we all have discussed. And when I was really, really bad, I remember seeing her one day, I was like, you bitch! Why? You can see that you're the bridge is nearly hitting the Liffey. Stop running so hard.
It's shaking up and down, kind of.
Shaking, bouncing up and down. I was nearly thrown asunder.
Yeah, absolutely. I hate that feeling.
Like, is that in a strong breeze in a day, I could be in the Liffey.
Okay, well
calm down.
Listen to the podcast. Thank you for listening. Listen to the radio show, 9 to 12 on Today FM, Monday to Friday. Thanks very much, everybody.
Peace.
Bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM.